My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is. Yeah.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back, Adlandia. It's hot Landia summer. And we have a great guest. Dara Treseder from Peloton is here. But first, the industry has talked widely about the four C's, and there are two C's I'm not talking about, Kristen and Carenti. We'll talk about that later. We're always part of the four C's, but really about collaboration, cooperation, and creation. Those are the things right now that are incredibly interesting in terms of how new IP is being created. But different than before in the past, I think post-pandemic, there's a surge in an understanding that those three things coming together can create a sustainable, right, new kind of thread of IP or multiple threads of IP and commercial opportunity.
You know, Alex, I think it's interesting in use case of two, right, in the sense of you and I working together over the years and developing a number of collaborations. How I would think about them previously were these moments in time where you had a 1+1=3 effect. We would use collaborations as a means to move into new spaces, you know, get in front of new audiences, you know, take over part of the marketing or cultural zeitgeist conversation, right? This new and interesting use case or approach from a brand. And as brands look at collaborations as maybe previously thinking, you know, as a stunt or as a moment, is it now a strategy? And as what was once a vertical business, so a collaboration might be tacked on to be an interesting moment in time. Now moving horizontally, the ability to think about who are those like-minded brands or businesses that exist in the world that allow us to move into new spaces, not as a moment in time, as a meaning to capture conversation, but to build new revenue streams, to pull apart pieces of your business that can actually exist in entirely new industries. Like that part of the collaboration, cooperation, and ultimately creating is a really interesting thing that I think we're starting to see accelerate from a number of brands, as you mentioned, in the retail space and beyond.
So I love what you're saying, Laura. And I think that I'd love to see a future, instead of having, you know, multivariate campaigns in marketing, having marketing lead multivariate products.
Interesting.
And collaborations. And then you start to drill down on what are the things that really work for this group of buyers or this community? And is that something that's actually more viable widely or viable to a group of people and buyers that are so critical to my core product and proposition? That starts to become really exciting. And do I think that that's a product, a function of a product team or a marketing team? I think it's both, but I think that marketers have a real place and a real voice where we should start thinking more about product and product development here. The second really quick point about what you said that I think is really interesting and leading into the interview a bit is I got really excited the other day. I actually saw on LinkedIn someone from Dunkin' Donuts was talking about the same kind of mindset when you kind of combine a product, collaboration, and brand, and there's real value around those things, you start to get a whole nother set of innovation, ideas, creativity, and community that you start to attract to your company and your brand.
Speaking of Dunkin', they just announced a collaboration with Backdrop for their first ever paint collection. So I know on our last episode, we were talking with Steve Wilson that he wishes there was a podcast talking about paint, but I don't think he would have expected it to come from Dunkin'. So I think this is like what we're talking about. Is there a podcast out there that's like paint colors over coffee? You know what I mean? Like it's just really interesting to start thinking about how brands can open up the aperture of access to new and interesting ways of thinking about, you know, products, experiences, services that don't necessarily have to be specifically in the wheelhouse, but are just adjacent enough that can expand your mind to think about ultimately the 1+1=3.
I think that it's very hard to do this. So you have to have the right leadership, the right mindset. And I'm excited to get into a conversation with Dara, because Peloton has done this really well. Now, I have not seen a company do this really well for a sustained period of time. And I'm really interested to see how does Peloton maybe start to show the world of marketing and product a bit more about how you sustain these types of things, collaboration, cooperation, and creativity over a long period of time.
We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. Is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Adlandia, we have a very special guest. We're so excited to have SVP of Global Marketing and Comms from Peloton. Welcome to the show, Dara Treseder.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So Dara, in getting ready for the show, Alex and I were talking about we really need to get into like the Peloton vibe. Let's do it. Dara, Dara, Dara. Dara, 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 Dara. Welcome to the show.
Woo-hoo. Now you got me all hype. I'm like, let's go. Last step, best step. Let's do it.
I feel like that's very Peloton, though. That's very Peloton, right? The slow clap.
You got to get in the zone. So obviously, we've all known each other for quite some time. We go back to the days when you were the CMO of GE Ventures. In the spirit of catching up, Dara, in this new role at Peloton, tell us what your initial experience has been like.
I love doing this when you're doing it with old friends. It's so much more fun. And yeah, I mean, it's been really great. I think that, you know, Peloton is in such an amazing position because here we are motivating millions of people around the world, trying to help them be active, centered, and connected. And it's really a marketer's dream. How do you make that happen? Right? What are the different tools in your toolkit that you use to motivate people? I really enjoyed it. We have such a wonderful team. So all credit always goes to the team. And I think it's been incredible to see what we've been able to accomplish in just a short period of time. And we're only getting started.
It feels like the whole world knows Peloton, loves Peloton. You guys still have a lot of room to grow. When we talk to our friends and family, they're like, oh yeah, Peloton, right? No question. I know who they are. I know what they do. But if someone doesn't know Peloton, I'm really interested in knowing, how do you describe Peloton?
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. And I think at the end of the day, what we're doing at Peloton is we're helping you become the best version of yourself, right? Helping you with your physical and mental health. And it's a connected fitness experience. So right from the comfort of your home, you can get a great workout, a phenomenal workout. And that was not something that you could do before Peloton came on the scene. I give so much credit to our founders and our CEO, John Foley, because when he came up with this idea, right, with our founders, the world was like, wait, what are you talking about? Right. From my home, I'm going to get a great workout. And now the whole world knows it to be true. And now everybody's like, oh, that's a great idea. I want to do that too. And so I think it's that unmatched motivation right, that you can get through a connected fitness experience. That's what Peloton brings you. And so you have that powerful combination of content and digital, right, and hardware and software all coming together, and music, right? There's so much coming together to deliver this immersive experience that's unlike anything that's out there, unlike anything that anyone has experienced before. And I think that that's what makes Peloton so special, is that we created this category and we're continuing to innovate and push what it means to be a connected fitness product.
Marketers are pointing to Peloton as like a gold standard example of everything you're talking about: content, entertainment, and experience. You've come from, as you said, great companies that have really defined what greatness in their category looked like. What does greatness look like for marketing at Peloton? And how are you working with your team to constantly plot on defining new greatness and creating greatness in a marketing comp space?
Yeah, I think greatness for us is really about, again, I think that combination, bringing the art and the science together to establish and grow our relationship with our members. That's what we're all about, right? Everything we do at Peloton is centered on improving the lives of our members. We are always saying, what's in it for our members? How is this going to help our members? How does this make our members' lives better? Does this help our members out? Right? We're always asking ourselves the question, what's in it for our members? And so as marketers, everything that we do comes back to, okay, how do we bring the art and science together to establish that relationship and continue to grow it, to develop it, to nurture it? Like every great relationship, it's got to be two ways, right? So we are always making sure, are we listening to our members? Are we paying attention to what they're saying? And are we acting on it? Right? Are we having a conversation with them? How do we surprise and delight them? We never want to be an interruption. We never want our marketing to be an interruption. We always want it to be a conversation. That's a source of delight, a source of surprise, a source of joy. And so for us, that's kind of what great looks like. And you can't do it with just the art or just the science, right? It's the combination, bringing up these things together. That's where the magic happens.
It's interesting to think about, and I'll use focus group of one. I'm by myself, I'm plugged into this screen, and I'm competing, and there's a leaderboard, and there's all this data and information going on. But then what quickly took hold, the more rides I got into, at least, this is a media company. So Dara, am I thinking about this right? Is Peloton moving towards more media company versus fitness company? Are there other things in the programming space we're going to see that go far beyond the hardware?
Well, we have a variety of disciplines already. Right? We have yoga, we have Pilates, we have bar, we have outdoor running. So we already have a bunch of disciplines that you can enjoy, right? Without having a connected fitness equipment in your house. So you don't necessarily need equipment to start to benefit from and access Peloton content. From your phone, you can download the Peloton app. We have a 30-day free trial. And you can immediately start to take advantage of the content that we have. And I think that, you know, Laura, you bring up a really great point. We are in some ways a media company, right? We've got our chief content officer, Jen Cotter, just does such a phenomenal job with her team. We have got, you know, just incredible content and world-class instructors. And it is truly enjoyable. Like, I am the kind of person that, like, for me, I need to be motivated to work out. And, you know, even just take today, for example, I woke up early and I was like, I've been wanting to take an Alicia Keys ride. And I just like felt like the Alicia Keys music. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go take that ride. And I went this morning, I went downstairs, got on my bike, quick 30-minute ride. And it was so funny. My daughter, my 5-year-old daughter, was in the next room. And when I came out, she was like, Mommy, I loved hearing you sing. I was singing at the top of my lungs. I'm like enjoying myself. It's like celebration. And yes, I did get a good workout. I did not PR in that class, didn't get a personal record, you know, because like I said, I was singing at the top of my lungs, really enjoying the moment. But I think that's kind of what it's about. It's about, we're not forcing anything on you. I loved when you said that it's not over-programmed, right? We have such a sophisticated, we have such a great product team that has done such a nice job where there is choice,
right?
But there's not too much. Right. So, there is a great variety so that you get to pick and you can pick what makes sense for you at that point. There are some days when I'm like, you know what? I really need a Cody Rigsby, specifically Britney Spears, right? Like that is all I need today. That is exactly what I need today. And there might be some days where it's like, you know, I really need an Alex Toussaint club bangers. That is what I need today, right? Shut the door. Take, you know, I don't want my children in here. Dara Treseder is about to leave the building. Dara Johnson just showed up. You know what I'm saying? So
like, I love that. Yes.
I think we just got your alter ego name.
Yes.
That was my maiden name, Dara Johnson. She was a little wild.
Okay, wait, hold on. So what's the alter? I need an alter ego. I feel like there's an alter ego in Dara Johnson. There's an alter ego in Dara Johnson.
So, you know, I was like, I can't have my kids see that. You know, it's grown people stuff. So I need
them. Oh my God, I love it. Okay, so we did have a question, which we know you can't answer, but who is your favorite instructor?
Oh, I can't. Come on now. That's like me. I could list all of them. I go for all of them. They're all amazing. Every single one of them.
How pivotal has the mobile app without the device been to the efforts of getting people actually on and involved in Peloton in general? I'd assume huge.
I think it's been, yes, absolutely. You know, because I think one of the things we're increasing access. In the sense that like anybody, you can just download the app, 30-day free trial, and start to immediately immerse yourself in the Peloton community and the Peloton experience. And, you know, that's huge. Peloton Digital, you know, is an important part of our business. And I think it's, you know, there will always be people who that's the first point. That's the first way they come. Exactly. Yeah. It's the lowest barrier to, you know, the barrier to entry, that's where it's lowest.
Yeah.
There will always be people who that's where they come in from, right? And that's okay. And so for us, we're constantly making sure that we have a variety of content, not just great content for our connected fitness devices, but also for the app, making sure that we have, you know, content that you don't need any equipment for.
Yeah.
Or you need minimal equipment so that you can start to really begin your health and wellness journey physically and mentally.
Yeah.
Even before you know, because I know you're going to end up getting that bike because you're going to start doing that. You're going to be like, I need my bike, you know, but before you go and get that bike.
That's right.
You know, at least we have, you know, it's like, you know, you start with the hors d'oeuvres, right? You know, you start with the appetizers and then, you know, you're like, you know what? Bring me a steak.
Yeah.
Give me that bike and some wine.
It's interesting to think about how influential your instructors have become in culture. And from collaborations to, you know, seeing them building their own brands outside, you know, on social and other endeavors that they have. How are you working with the instructors to imagine what I'll say, a horizontal build and reach of the organization as opposed to a vertical one in fitness alone?
So, you know, I'll never forget when I first met John Foley in person and we were talking. This is our founder and CEO. And he said something to me and it really touched me so much because I think it's just so, it just really signifies who he is and his just spirit of generosity. And he said, you know, Dara, one thing I want you to know is I want all of our instructors to be the biggest superstars they could be. So just so you know, we want them to have the biggest personal brands because as their brands grow, the Peloton brand grows. And I completely agree with that philosophy. And I love that. But that's so much in the DNA. Our instructors, you know, they're owners of the company. They are part of the brand. Right. They are in many ways sometimes on the front lines of the brand as they are delivering, you know, their messages unscripted and really inviting us to enjoy and grow through the workouts. And so we are very supportive of our instructors. We love our instructors. And so I work closely with Jen Cotter and Brad Olson, our chief membership officer and team. And we are constantly, you know, working with our instructors to support them in their different endeavors. And I think it's just been really incredible to see how the Peloton brand has continued to grow from strength to strength.
Yeah.
And also our instructor brands continue to grow from strength to strength. It's not mutually exclusive, it's symbiotic.
If you look at publishers and you look at publisher talent, right? From you could look at writers, you could look at journalists, you could look at all sorts of things. Your instructors are this amazing kind of talent, this bench of talent. And what phenomenal IP you all have here to do extensions and create, you know, what I would say is potentially like these, what you already have, these micro fandoms. You already have them. Before you got on the mic, Laura and Ryan were talking about their favorite instructors. And there was like intimate detail of why they liked someone. Or what they thought when they first took a class and they were like, and then they were like, oh my God, that person like kicked my ass and I felt so good, I'm only going back to them for like the next time I feel like this mood or this mood or this mood, right? That's an amazing thing as a marketer to kind of be sitting on and have the ability to be so potentially creative with. In some ways, to me, it puts you in a really interesting seat of not only being a marketer, but of being able to take the kind of talent as product and looking at them as how do you start to develop them and those personalities, using them as like almost extensions. Is that something that you guys talk about or think about?
So, you know, for us, our instructors are, you know, they are incredible partners and they're a critical part of the brand and a critical part of the experience. And so for us, it's all about working together, right? The way we think about our instructors are, what are their goals? What do they want to accomplish? And how do we accomplish it together? So that's how we really embrace it. You know, our instructors, you know, Jen Cotter, like I talked about, our chief content officer, she spends a lot of time. That's her job, right? She manages all the instructors. She runs all of our programming globally and is just phenomenal at it. So she spends a lot of her day doing that. And that's what she works on. Where we come in from a marketing standpoint is how do we partner, right? And help take that to the next level. So, you know, what, like, for example, there was a new series we recently launched, which you can participate in, Ride to Greatness with Alex Toussaint, right? And that's so awesome, right? It's Alex Toussaint, you know, is able to kind of be this coach and there's competition and it's so fun. I'm on Team Activate, which is obviously the team that's going to win. and I like,
is there a sideline supporter section on the Road to Greatness?
Because no, I'll be there. You got to validate. You know, you got to validate yourself and activate your hustle. So which one are you? I'm in the activate of the hustle. You know, so Laura, I'm going to look for you on the leaderboard. So there's lots of exciting things like that. And I think you're going to continue to see that because when we first came on the market, you know, it was like we had to explain,
right?
There's a bike. You get on the bike. There's an instructor who's going to coach you. There's a leaderboard. High five your friend. You know, like we had to explain what the product was and we will continue to do that. But because we continue to innovate, we continue to take things to the next level, we continue to introduce amazing new features, et cetera. But in addition to that, we can do deeper storytelling, where we can really start to talk more about our instructors and our content and our music and our programming, right? And so that's what you're going to see a lot in our community. I think that deeper storytelling is what we're going to have to continue to do, that deeper storytelling around all of these facets that really help people to feel connected to us, right? So we establish that relationship and we grow it.
It's so evident throughout this conversation how member-centric it is. And I know in marketing, we talk a lot about consumer first, but sometimes it's easy to slide the other way and get back to business service focus. What does that discipline look like? What are the signals or, you know, mechanisms by which you're making decisions on what stories to feature, where to go in on, where to kind of refine, et cetera?
Yeah, I think we are a data-driven company at Peloton. And I love that because everything starts with consumer insights, right? And so we're listening, right? We are listening to what our members are telling us. And our members are telling us things through a variety of channels. They're talking to us on social media. They're talking to us in their member groups. They're talking to us through the actions that they take on the product, right? The workouts that they do, the music that they select, what they request, right? There are all these different ways that they're talking to us. And we're listening. And then we take action. So at Peloton, there's a dynamic. We talk about you said we did. We do it with our employees and we do it with our members. This is what you told us.
Right.
These are the actions we have taken as a result of that. For example, Beyonce, she was our most requested artist.
Yeah.
Right. Beyonce is a Peloton member. She's been a Peloton member for several years. She has enjoyed the power of music and how music has powered her workouts. And she wanted to be able to bring that to her fellow members. And we were able to work together with her to do that. Right. But, and the reason that was so meaningful was because Beyonce wanted to do it and Peloton wanted to do it. But most importantly, our members wanted us to do it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, we do. In fact, Laura and I were having one of our Hot Adlandia like offline sessions talking about Peloton. And I said to Laura, the Beyonce thing is awesome. You had just launched it. I was like, it's amazing. Here's what a lot of people will not recognize. They were listening. They knew that their members wanted Beyonce. And so I am so excited that you have such a tangible example of, and that you have a practice. What you're talking about is actually a cultural practice of, you say it, we do it.
Yeah, I love that. That's going to be the episode title. That's awesome.
That is the episode title.
That's going on a t-shirt.
It's a great pedagogy, right?
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes we're sitting on data swamps.
Yes.
You know, we collect data, and we don't do anything about it. What's the point of gathering all the data if you're not going to take any action?
Right.
For us, we're really focused.
Yep.
We're listening. What are you telling us? And what are we doing as a result of it? And I think that's where you see that relationship between the brand and the customer, right? Which for us, we, you know, we think is our members, right? We see Peloton on our members. You see it deepen. You see it strengthen. You know, and we're not perfect. We don't get it right all the time. There are times we make mistakes, but when we make mistakes, we say, hey, we made a mistake. You know, and we do whatever it takes to kind of get back on the right side. I mean, I think about it, like I annoy my husband, you know, I don't know, probably, you know, I don't know, maybe let's not look at the data on that one. But like, he loves me. And like,
that's a different show.
Like, and there's a great relationship there. So it's like, I don't get it 100% right all the time. You know, like there are times I do like annoying things or whatever, but it's like, it's okay. You've got, there's the trust,
right?
There's love, there's joy, right? And we are both, you know, being there for each other. And that, as, I think that's one of the things brands, sometimes we forget that at the end of the day, it's about relationships.
Yes.
And like, what are we, how are we building trust with our members? How do we continue to build trust and continue to invest in those relationships, right? And it's a constant, just like with our relationships with individuals, the relationship between a brand and a customer is a living, breathing thing. Right, you have to continue to invest. And if you don't continue to invest and build that relationship, it's going to deteriorate. Imagine a friend that you haven't heard from in a long time and they just call you, hey, Laura, you know, hi, by the way, like, I'm here. Like, would just love to show up at your house in New Jersey. You're probably going to be like, I haven't heard from you in like 15 years. I don't even know who you are. Can you remind me? You know, so
it's that's just, what you have the ring for.
Exactly. That's what you have the ring for. Be like, decline. So, it's about building a real authentic relationship. That's what we really try to do at Peloton.
What I love that you're saying, I want to point this out for marketers. I want to point this out for anybody in the communications industry. Social media has become the default channel to communicate something, to say, I hear you, if brands do it at all. What you are saying is that you're changing the product. Huh. That. Like the most successful brands have done that. I am changing the thing that you bought from me, not just putting it on a, you know, easy billboard for you to read, not just da 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 da. You're doing that too, I'm sure, but fundamentally changing the product and the product experience is exactly what modern product brands should be doing today.
Well, it's also interesting just building on that, right? Like I'm trying in my head to think about the amount of hardware that I have daily interactions with. Now, I don't ride the bike every day. I know I'm going to work on that. But when I think about the amount of hardware, right? Like I think of Apple, right? I'm looking at my laptop, my phone. There are very few brands I have that many regular interactions with in a week. So there's almost this need to continually innovate and surprise and delight and continue to program and stay in communication with me, because now it's a relationship with what was once thought a bike in the corner of the room, but there's an entire community on the other side of that. I mean, how many brands in the world get to say that?
Yeah, there's a community. And, you know, it's like, it's a source of joy and peace. And I can't tell you how many times people like are like, Peloton's changed my life. And they mean it, including, by the way, a human I live with, like my husband. I remember when our bike first came in, you know, he's like, I'm a former Marine. But now he's like, I'm, look at me on the leaderboard. I'm almost at the very top. And I'm going to, like, it brings, and whether it's competition you need, or it's just joy, or it's just, you know, a time for you, or it's just relaxation, or it's spending time with your loved ones, exercising together, whatever it is, it like, there is something for everyone.
Yeah.
Right. Peloton is truly for everyone. And I think that's something that's really powerful, because no matter who you are or what you're looking for, you come to the bike and you find it there. And I think that that's the thing, right? It's like that the continued innovation creates the space for us to meet you where you are and give you exactly what you need in that moment.
Does it ever get challenging communicating that, like thinking about trying to be a lot of things to so many people?
We have obviously like a marketing communications framework that we use to say, what are the key messages that we're trying to to communicate to our members and then, you know, communicating in that way. But I think what's even better is that we're speaking to you in a way that makes sense for you. So, right, as a member, there are things you tell us about what matters to you. For example, you can join a tag or create a tag, right? And tags are the micro communities within our broader community. So, for example, I am a part of Peloton Moms and Peloton Working Moms. And there are many times that I receive communication that just blesses me because it's just what I need. And it's a catering to what I'm looking for as a mom, right? As a mother, that like me time that I need, that space for me, reminding me to take self-care, reminding me to invest in myself. And I think that that's a thing that's so powerful. And what is amazing about Peloton is that you're not just hearing it from Peloton, but you're hearing it from fellow members, which is even more powerful.
Right.
Right. And I think that it's a true community that's mutually reinforcing. So it's not just like a lot of messages just going out in the ether, but it's like you're hearing the messages for you in the language that matters to you about the things that are important to you. And that allows you, I think, to really have that incredible, unparalleled experience.
What are the things that you're most excited about as you look at your marketing comms roadmap in the year ahead?
Well, I'm really excited about, you know, I mean, there's so many things I'm excited about. I think one of the things that's more in the immediate future that I'm excited about is we have 9 top tier elite athletes who are members of the Peloton community, some of whom are former Olympians and some who may be competing in activities over the summer. And we're excited, right? We've got a whole Train with Champions stuff that's going to be going down this summer. And that's going to be a lot of fun. I think, you know, it's like, we're all excited, right? We're all ready to kind of make the most of the summer. And I'm so excited to do that with fellow members of the Peloton community and how we bring that to life and get inspired and challenged and just enjoy ourselves.
Can I just offer one product like this, just in the spirit of, you said we do product feedback, tap on the screen. I want that shirt. Drop it in a shopping cart for me, Peloton. I'll buy it on the end of the ride. It's just a product feature, just a suggestion. I'd like to tap to buy instructor outfits from the screen. I don't know if that's coming.
Laura, thank you. Thank you for sharing with us your experience. I will say Peloton Apparel, I mean, Jill Foley, talk about a dynamic woman, our VP of Peloton Apparel, has built, I think, a phenomenal business. And Peloton, I love my Peloton apparel. You know, like, it's like the weekend comes in, I'm in my Peloton apparel and I'm rocking it. And it's like, I see, you know, I go to the store, I see another mom, she looks at me, we give each other that look, girl, I'll see you on the leaderboard. You know what's up. And it just is so wonderful. I just feel like it just always makes everything look good when you wear the Peloton apparel. It like makes everything look just the exact way you want it to look. Instagram worthy, perfect. So I absolutely love our Peloton apparel. And I think you're continuing to see just a lot of innovation in that space, right? Just a lot of really great. So Laura, you are going to want to check out because there's going to be a lot of amazing things happening. Ooh. So just stay tuned.
I got my credit card ready.
Be plugged in to what's going on in the Peloton universe and be ready.
See, you didn't even have to ask. They already knew. That's how good they are. They already knew.
As you look out into the market, what are the things that are inspiring you right now, if you might share?
You know, I really like when brands accept who they are and are authentic to who they are. And I think that it's interesting because you see that happen, I think, in a variety of ways. And I'm inspired by that, right? And it's like, sometimes it's like, you know, provocative and a little like, wait, what? And sometimes it's spot on. But I think whenever you're taking, I want to see creative effectiveness. So what I mean by that is I want to see you push creativity to cut through the clutter and be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm inspired by the way brands are doing that, right? You know, whether it's using just completely powerful novel storytelling, or it's like really, really getting that insight that creates that unlock for the campaign. Like, it's just like spot on. Everybody who sees it gets it immediately. Or it's using technology, right, as a way to, you know, elevate your brand and differentiate your brand. And I'm excited to see how we focus on creative effectiveness, because I think for so long, you know, it was kind of like we were the Mad Men era, where it was, and it was really mostly Mad Women, because it was women getting it done, even though we call it Mad Men. Let's keep it real, you know. But you had that era of advertising, right? And then we kind of did a big swing over to MarTech, and it was like every single MarTech stack you could build. And I think the beauty is in the middle, right? I think the beauty is when we have creativity and we have technology and data and we bring them together. And creative effectiveness is about that, right? Creative effectiveness is about looking at your toolkit and figuring out what is that, right? And like, what tool do I need to really get the job done? And that really focusing on creative effectiveness and like, how am I creative in the most effective way at this particular point in time? So it's not just even looking at your tools alone, but you have to do it within the broader context of culture.
That's right.
That's what excites me. Because I think things are moving so quickly and they're only going to continue to change and evolve and grow. And it's so, you're never going to be bored, especially if you're always focusing on creative effectiveness. If that's what you focus on, I think that's where you're going to really see a lot of business results, impact. So that's what really excites me about the future of marketing.
So, Dar, we're going to go into our game. We call it bye, bye, bye. What would you say goodbye to?
B-Y-A.
What would you buy? B-U-Y. And what would you do yourself? B-Y.
All right. Well, as you know, I am moving right now across the country. So what I'm saying bye-bye to is all the clutter in my life and all the furniture my lovely children ruined. So I'm saying bye-bye, bye-bye, bye to that.
Amazing. Okay. What are you going to purchase?
And what I'm buying is stuff that's going to be like tailored to my new house. Like, I'm really excited. I actually, you know, interior design, and that's like a, you know, a little like passion of mine. I'm an amateur interior designer. Like, when I say amateur, it means I'm like, no one would pay me to do it because I don't do it very well, but I enjoy doing it. And my husband indulges me. So I'm really enjoying that, you know, looking at rugs and lamps and like looking at the order to delivery time and trying to figure out when it's all going to arrive. So I'm doing a lot of buying of that right now. And by Dara Treseder. So what I'm currently working on, my daughter is wonderful and she is 5 years old and she loves to sing. And she has been working on her own original songs. So what I will be doing by Dara Treseder is trying to help her home produce,
wow,
you know, with, I think, a combination of a microphone and an iPhone and other home devices, record some of her songs so she can produce her first homemade EP for her grandma with all these wonderful songs she's written.
I love that. That is adorable. Adorable. So Dara, if people want to get a hold of you, how do they follow you?
At Dara Treseder on Instagram. Like, I, you know, I connect with people through my Instagram. It's another personal hobby of mine.
And they can find you on the leaderboard.
My husband is like almost never on Instagram. He only comes on my birthdays, on Mother's Day, to do a post. He doesn't even have the app on his phone. And so he has no idea that I actually have a few followers. So he's always like, Dara, nobody even cares. And I'm like, no, I actually have a few followers. And he's like, what, like two people? I'm like, no, I actually have a few. And he's like, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. It's amazing.
I enjoy, it's my like diary. It's my online diary with all of my Insta friends who are amazing. They support me. They help me. I enjoy it.
I love it.
That's awesome. Congrats again on the new role and all of your success. We'll see you on the leaderboard and we look forward to having you back soon.
Dar, thank you so much for coming.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, Laura, so after talking to Dara, do you think that Peloton is a media company or hardware company?
Well, I think it's an and, not an or, right? When I first bought my Peloton, By the way, I am on day two of a 30-day run. So I'm just yes. putting it out there in the universe for some accountability. I bought the Peloton to exercise. What I didn't anticipate was all of the discovery that was going to happen once I got in the brand, right? Discovery of new music, discovery of new conversations, discovery of new communities. And ultimately, as a marketer, you know, there's part of me that's writing as a person, and then there's a part of me that puts my marketing hat on. The product continues to iterate, and in listening to data, you see the new features show up time and time again. And so you're watching what was presumably this feedback loop that is only making the experience more relevant to me as an individual rider, but more interesting as it relates to what's happening in the cultural conversation, how they're using their platform, not their product, their platform, to be part of and continually bring you back in to a community that exists right in your home. And so I think it's a fascinating experiment. And I never imagine buying a stationary bike would open me up to what has become part of a daily routine that is well beyond exercise.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think that it will be really interesting to see what Peloton does with the kind of amazing creative and human IP with their instructors eventually, or are they going to really push into other areas around hardware and software? I think it's going to be interesting to see how they really sustain their innovation and stay ahead of the curve. It is not easy to do, as you and I know, right? You start to get onto, I think, as a communications, marketing, and product teams, you start to get into these amazing rhythms, and it does become the coveted flywheel that everyone wants. But that coveted flywheel has to be really maintained and planned and premeditated. And I think that there's all sorts of external factors that can affect it. The thing is, I think the product is actually an accessory to the media company. I think it was always that way. I mean, John Foley came from IAC. It's a media holding company. And I think that was probably the plan all along. Now, what do they do with that? I think that's really interesting.
If you're a founder today, you know, entering space with product or hardware, I think it's a really interesting proposition to think about the software element and what has to sit on top of your product or hardware to continually keep people engaged. I think of it as like, you know, how many apps are on your phone or what are the apps on your home screen? It's similar in that there has to be a repeated use case. And so what does that require? And as marketers, how do you break through that?
Hotlandia Summer.
All new episodes featuring Monica Padman, co-host of Armchair Expert, the founders of Morning Brew, What's Up, Alex and Austin, and Rashad Tabakawala, industry luminary, joining us this summer. Stay tuned. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Laura, hit it with the list of all of our friends and family at iHeart who have been so good to us and helped us get back on air.
Big thank you to Bob, Connell, Carter, Andy, Eric, Gail, Val, Michael, Jen. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.